Blog Talk Radio.
Better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing.
Yeah,
football.
Right,
Sunday in the snow. Referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
Soul timers, do you remember the names? Like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane. Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff. In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Leg Church, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Perry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lady Moore. It's them I adore, they seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tino Allie Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's those sort of things, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. We got a good show for you guys coming up today. This is CMT Firestorm. We are back once again. We get a panel together from the Windy City. We got Chi-Town Mike. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man? 1 week done of NFL. It's going to be excitement, man.
All right. We got the mouth of the South, Clauzel Mathis. What's going on,
what's
man?
What's good? Happy to be
hey,
here.
Let's get it. Crack and filling in for Texas. We got Tony. All I care about is being lightly with
Salutations.
All right, now your boy Kelly. First of all, I just want to let everybody know that that football song that fits so good with this show. And y'all got to realize that LL Cool J did that when he was 16 years old. You know, he was already famous, I think. If you're hip hop Mount Rushmore, don't have LL on it, then you ain't got nothing. But get this show started. We got a lot of stuff. This Oklahoma State thing is actually spread. Now it's stuff. It's the SEC.
Hello, you there?
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Down?
Yeah,
I think you're breaking up though.
Cool, yeah.
Man. I think you're breaking up though.
Well, I'm breaking up.
Somebody was.
Kelly Mike. I think Kelly Mike might be breaking up. Can you talk right now, Kelly Mike? Kelly Mike.
Oh, I think we lost.
I think he disconnected.
All right. Well, let's put. All right. I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I hear you.
Like I was saying, we got a lot of five players from the like DJ Fluker, Tyler Blair, Fletcher Cox, Chad Bumpus, he already admitted that he took money. Right now it just seems like this thing is going. Know where it's gonna stop. But like I say, they actually have money totals. You know, like I said, it's pretty much confirmed stuff. What do you guys think about what's going on right now between this and the Oklahoma State stuff? I mean, how much football is this black eye on college football right now? What do you think, brother?
I mean, does it put a black eye on him? I don't necessarily know if it puts a black eye on it. I mean, it's like, I mean, this is, I look at it like, what else is new? I mean, we people know they pay, players are getting money under the table. Now, is it directly through the university? Probably not, but probably some sort of booster that knows a booster type of thing. And it is what it is. So is it going to make a black eye on college football? No. I mean, I would say no, because it's not changing the minds of anybody. I mean, it's something that we expect to occur. I mean, I think the NCAA with the all the when Miami situation came, I think the NCAA was a sign that says, hey, we are in charge here. You know, we're not going to let this go out of much. We're not going to let this I don't even want to put any inference on it. We're not going to let the jailbirds run the asylum. We're running the show, and it just seems like they don't really have control. The NCAA can't control it, regardless of how much severe punishment it is. It's still going to be people doing stuff under the table.
Sure. This defensive end from Alabama, it looks like he's the one acting as, kind of the money guys and the players. As an Alabama fan, does this make you feel kind of nervous? Do you think your program is going to be under the microscope now? I mean,
I don't think it's going to affect. I don't think Alabama's going to get on probation for it. I don't think Alabama's going to get on probation. I don't think an Alabama booster would have given him money. I think it's probably some dirty agent or something like that that gave him money. I don't know. I don't know the details of the story. But, I mean, there ain't going to be no severe sanctions. I don't know how much money the guy from Alabama get. I mean, was this, like, systematic? Were other players at Alabama doing this? My understanding is this was a player from Alabama, Tyler Bray, Fletcher Cox. These are all guys at different schools, so it wasn't from a one institution type of thing. It was probably some agent that was just dishing out money.
Well, it was the money came from different sources, but the actual money person was this guy from Alabama. He's an Alabama player, Luther Pierce. And he's the one, I guess he's the one who slipped everybody.
The actual guy that the money guy was from Alabama, he was an Alabama booster.
Yeah, that's what
I'm telling
you. Ex-Alabama player.
What's his
name?
Luther
Davis.
Okay, I never remember that guy.
Can I interject?
Yeah, go ahead.
I this whole idea of having the football players and athletes in all the sports get certain kickbacks and favors and things of that sort. For those people who think that is something that just is out of bounds and crazy, you know nothing about college football. It is impossible for you to think that these teenage boys, 18, 19, 20 years old, full of testosterone, working out all day long, does not need to relieve that stress in some way. I can tell you right now from experience, because I have frat brothers who I literally was with every day during college that were football players. And they had three things that they did in their life. They went to practice, they went to class, and they sit in their room and played Xbox and Game Boys and stuff like that. They were in their rooms all day, every day. So when they spend all of their time in their rooms, if all of a sudden there's a dorm party or something of that sort in which a lot of people are invited to come to the dorm, and some of their fans happen to get there and they hook up, you can't blame the person who brought the fans to the dorm party and say that was a kickback for something. That's ridiculous.
Well, let me ask you this question. Let's look at it like this. Say you're a guy who you know is going to the NFL, or just not even I mean, just say you're a good guy. I mean, if they were to give these guys money, would it just be a matter of the delayed gratification? I mean, people are saying they're going to give them a stipend that they won't be able to access till after they get out of, after they get out of college. And truthfully, I mean, besides helping out your family or something like that, I can't see the reason why a player would need $45,000 in college. To me, that's just something like a guy, especially if you're an All-American guy, it's like, just wait 2 years and you're going to be a millionaire anyway.
But again, you guys are just looking at it from the perspective of the athlete. These athletes are being used, gentlemen. These athletes are not doing this stuff for themselves. It is the other people that are using them for their own purposes. I'll give you a prime example. In Gainesville, and I'm not giving no names of nobody, but I'm just going to give an example. There was an auto dealership. He was a UF alumni. He donated a lot of money to the school, and some of the players would go over to his auto dealership on the weekend and sign autographs. He would advertise that these people were going to be at his auto dealership signing autographs. That was to get people on his lot to sell cars. Afterwards, they'd have this big barbecue and all of this kind of stuff where all of these people are hanging out and mingling with the athletes. It's all about them getting their own profit off of these people. And, yes, do they give them a little bit back, like letting them drive a car off his lot for the weekend? Yes, they do stuff like that. But the thing is, they've made so much money off of him being there signing autographs, they feel like they have to do something for him.
Okay, yeah. I kind of see where you're coming from there. I didn't think about it from that perspective. I don't know a lot of guys get involved in stuff like that. What were you saying, Mike?
I think I heard something about this car dealer thing. And you have, I think, hearing something about that, what Tony's talking about.
Well, it
happens every day in all over the country.
Yep.
Suspended. I think the quarterback,
who cares if the guy makes, I mean, if you got to get, I get what you're saying, Mike, but still, if he's out there playing, giving it all, and the NCAA is making money off of this particular player, I mean, why you can't get some of the fruits too, you know? I mean, all these people coming in bringing, I mean, we know NCAA sports is a billion dollar industry, and it's not benefiting any of the players, so, I mean, hey, why they can't get a little something too?
That is the whole reason why this is happening. It's happening because the NCAA can't control where the money goes. And because they can't control where the money goes and they see themselves losing money, they want to cut down on it. It's just like the government and not being able to control the sale of marijuana. If they could control and solicit the sale of marijuana, it'd be legal right now. But because they can't control it, they make it illegal.
Hold on 1 second. Let me bring in a couple. We got a. I think this is a James from the 854. James, how's it going? You're on the TNT Firestorm.
Hey, y'all hear me?
Yeah, we hear you, bro.
Yeah, man. Carl, you tripping, man. How you gonna tell me about this show when I'm in the middle of Las Vegas right now?
I mean, it starts at the same time every time, bro.
I hear you, man. Now, I'm going to just give a quick report, man. I'm just, like, in, like, a little meet and greet. So I'll do a little quick thing about this little autograph controversy. Like I said before, the NCAA tries to hustle the players out of money, out of time, and out of their physical health. And yet, when the players try to do something, you know, they fall out of the players. That's contradictory to me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, well, hold on. I'm going to put you guys on hold, and I'm going to bring in this other.
Yeah, do that.
Seven, hi, you're on CMT Firestorm.
Hello? What's going on?
What's up, Steve? What's up?
What's going on, fellow Bear fan? We did it, baby.
Yeah, we did it.
Oh, my goodness.
I just caught the tail end. I just got on, so I don't. What was the topic?
Right now we're talking about the different scandals that have been going on, you know, with the Oklahoma State scandal where they found out, you know, the players were getting money and I think they said they were getting sexual favors and stuff too. Now it's starting to come out that there are different players in the SEC who does it. Tony has just expressed to us that he knows that glad handing was going on at University of Florida with some of the Gators players there. Basically we want to know what's your opinion on that?
Well, I mean, my opinion is we've known this kind of stuff for years. It's not like it's nothing new. I mean, they've been doing that for years. They did that at Florida State. They just never got caught. Well, they got caught. They just throw the players that are stupid enough to be out there flashy under the bus. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, man. The NCAA wants to control everything. The people, the players feel like they ain't getting nothing. The only way you can get a lot of players is offer this, offer that. Y'all saw the movie He Got Game. They didn't make that up. It happens. I mean, the movies we see, I mean, they portray stuff that actually happens. So it's not like it should be a big shock. You know, it's not. It shouldn't be a big shock to us when fans, you got caught hazing. We knew what was going on. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. My opinion is, it's like, you know, the media is looking for all kind of stuff to put out, but we all know what's going on. It's just everybody's coming for it because they want to have a name. They want to expose somebody. The next writer is trying to get a big paycheck. So all of it's going to come out on every school. If they did an investigation on every school, I'm pretty sure they'll find something. So that's just pretty much my opinion on it. Yeah, Manziel signing autographs. Yeah, we know they looked out for him. Yeah. We know that that's their little Heisman puppet, so the NCAA gave him a little slap on the wrist. Yeah. I mean, how does it look the Heisman Trophy winner get suspended? Now he's not carrying up the Heisman Trophy like he should. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's all about money at the end of the day. And everybody's going to get exposed one day or another.
I think with Johnny Manziel, like you said, he's pretty much the biggest star in college football. Everything you hear on the news and sports is about Johnny Manziel. So, of course, you know, on a PR standpoint, you know, say he would have got suspended for, half the season of the whole year, you know, it's all about Johnny, you know. He's a big star, so they have to protect their brand and their star. So that's how it works. They even talked about it, you know, on College Game Day show, ESPN, opening night, Saturday, like, I mean, I don't know you signing that many autographs and not getting money. Come on now. We all not dumb. Like you said, where was the money trail? He took cash. That's the whole thing. Cash, homie. So there's no trace to cash. So, hey, that's why everybody likes cash. Not traceable. That's the reason why he's out there playing right now.
This is my only problem with, you know, with that system and the way things have been going on. Okay, say it's a kid like a Johnny Manziel or another quarterback, and there's a booster or outside source that's been, you know, giving this guy money so he can send back home so his parents can pay the light bill or pay their rent or whatever. Then say, maybe not this year, but next year, that same dude is like, okay, Johnny, once you guys get up by 30 points, you know, maybe you start missing a couple of passes. I'm not asking you guys to lose, but just see if you can keep within this point spread. And isn't that the devil's advocate of paying these players in the first place, that they can be influenced in that way?
Okay, but the thing is, you are insinuating that they're taking this money for a quick pro quo where you do something for me, I do something for you. That's not how it works. They're taking this money because they've already done something for you. I signed all these autographs and got all of these people to come into your business and give you business, so you are giving me money. So there is no more pick quick pro quo.
I'm saying that's what you need me to do. That's one situation though. With this situation that's going on right now with these Alabama players, this money's coming from agents and outside sources. These guys aren't, you know, like I say, that the local, the autograph signing, yeah, that's a horse of different color. But the bulk of this money that's coming from these guys is coming from boosters and agents.
Well, okay, but the agent, one of the things about an agent is, if this is going to be your agent, when you sign that multi-million dollar contract, your agent going to get paid. That's why he's willing to give your mama the money. It's because he already knows his pot at the end of the rainbow is coming, as long as you don't get hurt. So, yeah, he can give your mama a few thousand dollars because he's about to make a few million.
But it's not guaranteed that he's going to do that. Look at the Reggie Bush situation. That's how the whole thing came to light in the first place, because he didn't sign with that dude. And now look what happened to the program.
Yeah, I didn't know he offered. He didn't sign with Buddy.
No, he didn't sign with that dude, so that's why he ratted him out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I think he paid him back, but he didn't sign with him, though. That's the thing. Like Ryan Leaf, I don't know, whatever the case is. But this is the thing about that. The only solution to this problem is if there's no rules. I go by Skip Bayless, what he said. There has to be no rules. So if Notre Dame wants to pay such and such player to go there, let him do it. I don't think that's going to change the balance of power, because some kids are like, okay, hey, I want to grow up playing for University of Florida. I want to grow up playing for Miami. I want to grow up playing for Nebraska or something like that. I mean, that's the only solution to this problem, is just eliminate it all or let them – you know, profit off their likenesses or whatnot. That's the only solution. There's no other solution to it.
I disagree with you there, Clausell. If you stop to think about it, that changes the game. Why does it change the game? Because right now you want to go to the University of Miami because of their football program. If you hear for all your life and during high school that the University of Notre Dame is paying their players, then that's where you want to go.
Yeah, I mean, but another school could, like, my thing is, okay, Notre Dame could pay somebody $1 million, and, you know, University of Florida could be paying you for $700,000. You know, it's still a lot of money, and the guy may have grew up saying, hey, I really want to play for University of Florida because I grew up going to their games, things like that, you know. I mean, so the point is, like, they're still getting paid, but just the fact that they love their school, they'll be loyal to that school. I think in this situation,
okay,
because
so
they're going to make a lot more money when they go to the pros.
USF, what about a USF that can't compete with the Florida State, and Miami's? Who's going to
compete
many
with them now?
Players are going to go to USF.
They can't compete with them now. There's no difference because it's the same situation. USF can't compete with them now.
Well, hold on. Let me interject one thing here. We have to look at it like this. Which I don't know if you guys know or not, the reason that modern-day professional athletes right now, the salaries they make when they weren't paid, there's a lot of corruption going on.
Okay.
You can't pay Deion Sanders you can't pay LeBron James $50,000 to throw a game, because that's nothing to him. That's why they had to raise the salaries for these guys. Now, maybe a school like, no, you got to figure, Notre Dame is a private school. University of Florida is a public school. They're not paying nobody $1 million for anything. Not players. They'll pay the coaches, but, you know, like I said, you got to look how much money that is. You know, that's a lot of money for a public school, you know, to come. Miami's a private school. So, like I said, that means the money would have to come from boosters, or it would have to come from NCAA. And once you do that, like I said, that's kind of how you getting into the shady area again. If there's no organized, you know, if there's no organized way of getting these guys paid, that's when things kind of start getting shady again, because you don't know where this money's coming from.
Yeah, you would have to regulate.
You're talking as if the shady area ain't already there. If you look at some of the greatest players, LeBron James, where did he go to high school? He went to a private high school. Why did he go to a private high school? It's because I guarantee you that private high school was helping his parents or helping somebody, and that's why he went to that school, because you know his mama could not afford the tuition in that high school.
That's true.
Yeah. Being a private, yep.
So it's one of those situations of where that's already happening. These private schools have the upper hand over the public schools begin with.
LeBron James is a perfect example, because he went, okay, I'm getting paid, so I'm not even going to go to college. I'm going to do that.
Right, but exactly. You could do that because Because the NBA allowed that. I mean, the college football doesn't allow that. I mean, the NFL, as I should say, doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
You might
true.
Have.
I mean,
you might have.
But if you
up.
Look at, if you look around the country, the best high school football teams in the country are private high schools. They, because
yeah,
they recruit those players and they give them certain benefits to be at that school. Now it's under the hush.
I don't know about they give them. They don't give them benefits. They don't necessarily give them benefits. It's more like, you know, it's a better environment for the child, and that kind of promotes. That's kind of the parents look at that. That's what it boils down to.
I don't even think the best high school teams are private schools. I mean, Miami Northwestern in a private school. Hoover in Alabama in a private school. Long Beach Poly in a private school.
Like I said,
Dallas, you know, none of them schools are private schools. Those are all public schools.
I guarantee you, if you look throughout the United States, you can name few that are great high schools that are public, but the stars come from the private schools, and they win the state championship.
Like I said, let's look at the schools in Florida. Where do guys come from? Northwestern, that's a private school, right? I mean, that's a public school.
I'm talking about, you got to break it up. You're looking at certain A schools. Like, you might be looking at 6A. Look at 1A. Look at 2A. Look at 3A and see who goes to the state championship. It's Catholic High School. It's Bishop High School. It's this, that, the other. It's these private schools.
I was going to say, for like, you know, since, you know, my city is state known for basketball, like in Chicago, that's the high schools, most all high schools, you know, the schools that's in the basketball playoffs, you know, pretty much every year, most of them are public schools. They might have another type of
conference. Yeah, Simeon and all those schools are public schools, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's just move on, man. I mean, I want to
okay,
get to Miami. Miami. Hold up. I want to get into Miami since we got whatchamacallit on the phone right here, Steve.
Okay, let's start that off right quick. We've had a big week in college football. A lot of games. A lot of teams have just won it. A lot of teams.
Man, you're breaking up, Mike. Oh. You there?
Mike?
All right. Kelly, Mike,
hold on,
you there?
Hold on.
You know?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, we've had these.
You're still breaking up. I can't hear you.
That is amazing. I'm not doing anything differently. We got University of Miami defeated the Florida Gators by Stephen Morris and Duke Johnson. What are you guys' thoughts in coming away from that game?
I didn't even hear the question.
The Miami Hurricanes, they beat the Florida Gators. What did you get out of that game in regards to Miami and their ascendance? Are they back to being the U, or are they just a very good team?
I got a stomachache.
I know why.
It's too bad Jamal's not in here rubbing it on you about it. I mean, I see he had posted something and said something, but hey.
No,
it's about you.
Well, I'll go first. Let me go first. First of all, and I know Ms. SportsCenter here, she's listening. The thing is, Miami is not back. I'm sorry, Steve. I just gotta say that they're not the U. Right now, I'm not even sure if they're on their way because of the sanctions they're about to come on. But they're a very good team this year. But I don't think they're back to being the U, because I watched the game, and first of all, that was a horrible loss by Florida. That was just a horrible loss, first of all, because
okay,
they had a
okay,
national.
We did
that was
it.
They
we
had
did
a
it.
National. I, let me finish, Wiley. They had a national championship caliber defense, because they held Duke Johnson to 58 yards rushing or 59 yards rushing, one of the two, and their offense could not score any points. So that was just a flat-out horrible loss by Florida. I mean, they just cost themselves another national championship, and they may lose to Tennessee, but that's another conversation in itself. Now, in regards to the U being back, it's kind of like that Florida State syndrome 2-3 years ago, and I wish Texas was on the phone. I was talking to him. The people are jumping too soon to conclusion here. You got to give them another year, another 2 years to being back to being the U. I don't see them. I don't think they're a better team than Florida State right now. Let's just put it that way. That's my opinion.
But those
they're not a better
coming back.
What'd you say?
I said those Florida State teams signaled the Seminoles coming back. They weren't fully back, but that put them back on. I mean, Miami's not – they're not the U yet, of course, but, I mean, they're coming back to national prominence. That's
Yeah. They're on their way. They're on their way back. Yeah, I'll give you that. They're on their way. Yeah.
I mean,
I think Florida State right now is back to where they need to be.
Yeah, I mean –
All right. My turn. All right. Y'all are stomping on my Gators right now, so I have to respond. First and foremost, the Boo didn't beat us. We beat ourselves.
When you go
and interceptions, fumble the ball, can't get first downs on third and one. I mean, come on. They threw that game away.
I agree with you, Wally, and because I watched the game, every snap of that game. And it looked like to me Florida was the better team, but they turned the ball over. I mean, they just turned the ball over. They can't score any points. Their defense is legit.
Yes.
Their defense – They have a national championship defense, but the offense is like, I mean, come on. I mean, the offense is horrible. And it's going to come. I mean,
had they not turned the ball over, the U would not have won the game.
Wait a minute. Why are you saying they turned the ball
over
like they did it? Why are you saying they turned the ball over like they did it by themselves? They weren't just dropping the ball on the ground.
They did.
They were getting hit.
They didn't turn it over because Miami hit them. Driscoll just sucked.
Yeah, he threw some big plays.
And you know, and hold on, and I kind of
interceptions.
And I want to keep this on Miami because I could talk a lot about Florida, but it's a good win for them. I like Stephen Morris a little bit better now, and I like what the guy's doing. What's the guy's name? The coach, I forgot his name. I can't even think of his name right now.
Grodin.
I think he's doing good things down there. So hopefully they can keep up the momentum. I don't think they're back yet. But if they beat Florida State, now we have a different conversation, but I don't think that's going to happen, though. So,
I mean, that's
I want to hear what
Steve's got to say. If they beat Florida State, they might be going to the national championship game. So that's easy to say.
I don't see that happening, though. But I want to hear what Steve's got to say. What does Steve got to say?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, we hear you.
Okay. The media, everybody, I've been hearing. For one, I hate Gator fans with a passion. I hate anybody that went in there.
Middle finger.
I will never support Florida until they change the name of that stadium. I'm sorry, but you got to do it. But anyways, let's get back to I don't think the U is back. I'll admit it. But guess what? We just won a game. Like y'all act like people don't game plan. I'm gonna tell you something. What kind of hurt Miami in this game was they had a new offensive coordinator. I guarantee you, if Jeff Fish would have been offensive coordinator, I guarantee you Miami would have put up a whole bunch of points. Y'all can say what y'all want to say. But Jay Fish would have made it happen. James Coley is just getting into that position, and really, they got some kinks they got to work out. They were dropping passes and stuff like that. But Miami's defense, you got to give them credit. They held Florida 2.8 yards per carry. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you can say what you want to say. Yeah, you can run up and down the field, but if you don't score, why does it matter? If you don't win the game, tell me when Florida led the whole game. They never led at all in the game. So for people to say, oh, Florida was the better team, yes, they were deeper, but the better team won because they lost. So at the end of the day, Miami is not really back. Al Golden said it, you know, but they're making the right strides. Miami looked like the better conditioned team. Miami looked like they were ready to play. Florida wasn't ready to play. Driscoll, whoever. I don't know too many Florida quarterbacks that have done anything lately. So, I mean, it is what it is. They were garbage, and Miami won the game, and that's all I got to say. I could talk all day about what's going on, but Miami definitely is going to win the recruiting war. We already stole a couple of your recruits. We're going to steal some more because y'all got smashed on national TV, and that's the bottom line.
Yeah,
hey, but at the same time, okay, but do you think they could keep up with Florida State, though, Steve? Like, I mean, because clearly they're the class right now in the state of Florida right now, Florida State. So do you think?
I know that's your other team, Clausel. I know that's your.
No,
other
it's
team.
Not, man. Come on, man. Come on.
You can't.
And don't even back him up with that, Cali Mike, because I already know you're gonna say something. No, that's.
Hey, they don't let that ride because I remember you, man. When Alabama was garbage as hell, you
that's
was a
not
big
true.
Florida State fan.
That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. I'm an objective reporter. I'm an objective analysis, man.
Whatever.
I am. Florida State right now is the best team in the state of Florida. And what'd you say?
I
didn't know Clausel was an Alabama fan until he started this show.
I mean, he did used to admit, yeah, my team is Alabama, but he didn't really hear it when they weren't doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they weren't doing squat.
Yeah.
I'm being objective, man. My thing is, I'm saying out of the big three right now, I still got Miami number three. Florida, the thing is, Florida has a defense, but I think I blame Will Muschamp for this because he made a bad decision by starting Jeff Driscoll over that other guy. And you see where you're at right now. You know, I mean, the other guy's gone, and who's going to back up Driscoll? I mean, he can run the ball, but he can't complete a pass. I mean, he's not accurate for nothing. So the offense can't even do anything for Florida, which is costing them a chance at a national championship.
The other guy transferred.
What?
Yeah,
the other guy transferred. But, I mean, in terms of talent-wise, in terms of players, caliber of players, Florida has the one of some of the best in the country. And they can keep it with anybody. But offensively, they're just not there. They have the skill players to do it, but they just don't have the quarterback to do it.
Any major school
can be said to compete with any other school talent-wise. The difference is...
Florida got five stars. Florida's stacked. They are stacked with talent,
they're
stacked.
So is University of Texas. I mean, it's a lot of five-star recruits. But the fact is, with the state of Florida, is we know that we're going to have at least three to four more years of Jameis Winston. We don't know. Even Stephen Morris, he's gone after this year, so we don't know what's going to be in Miami next year. It already doesn't look good with him in Florida this year, but I think that's what puts Florida State at the top right now because we know, we can see what the ship is going to be going for the next couple of years. Everybody else
right. I got them as the best team in the country right now. I mean, that's just me.
So that matchup, you think who's getting the matchup when they meet, Florida State, who do you think wins? So I might think Florida might get them.
I don't know. I mean, hold on, I don't want to direct the conversation too far off the topic, but I don't. In regards to that question, I don't know because, I mean, you got the quarterback element. You got Florida State has a top dominant defense, very good offense, but Florida has a very dominant defense, which I think is a little bit better than Florida State's. So, and then you bring Florida State on the road in the swamp. I don't know what's going to happen there, but they do have the quarterback to get them through that, it looks like, from what we've seen so far out of the quarterback at Florida State. So it'll be an interesting situation. But it could have been a number one versus number two type of game, but the Florida messed it up. They had a horrible loss. I mean, that was a horrible loss. No disrespect, Wiley, man, but that's just a horrible loss y'all had,
dude,
man.
I get it.
Yeah.
I'll say this, though. Since we talked about Muschamp, I know Clausel did say this, though. He says he's not sold on him and anything with Texas and everything. I mean, you never know. You think Muschamp might bulk Florida and leave Texas and go back to Texas? And I know you keep saying you don't think he's a guy from Florida.
I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Miami's schedule, and I feel like I'm at a birthday party. I see so many cupcakes. I truly believe if they beat Florida State, they could go to the national championship. I ain't seen so many teams I ain't never heard of before in my life.
They would still have to meet Clemson in the SEC championship. So, in the ACC championship game.
Well, okay, but I mean, if you look at their schedule, they don't play nobody.
Well, they did. They did just play and beat the University of Florida. I don't know if you heard about that game.
Oh, wow.
I definitely don't feel in a good ranking right now with that win.
But I don't know. And the thing about the University of Florida is, because people are underestimating, like, Tennessee plays Oregon on Saturday. And if
that's
that game is close. If that game is close.
Are you crazy? Oregon scored 60 on those dudes.
You think so? All I'm gonna say is this. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I watched Tennessee the past 2 weeks. They're a little bit better than a lot of people think. And I'm not saying they're gonna beat Oregon. But if the game is close, then I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee beats Florida the following week. I would not be surprised.
Okay, Oregon is gonna put 60 on them, and Florida. I'm not a university.
Yeah, that's
Florida.
The thing. If Oregon puts six, that's what I'm saying. If Oregon puts like 50, 60 points on them, or 40 points. And they run away with the game, then I'm like, okay, they ain't gonna beat Florida. But if that game is close, then what'd you say?
Callie Mike, can you make sure that Claudel gets his medicine? Because he's tripping
now.
Okay, I'm telling you, I watched them the past 2 weeks. They're better than you think they are. Okay, whatever.
They've
been losing for so long.
They got two losses coming up. Oregon and Florida, they're gonna beat South Alabama. Then they have three more losses. They might not even finish 500 this year.
Go on and write UT off, buddy.
Yep, yep.
I'm looking forward to Saturday. I want to see how close this game is. I still got Oregon to win, but I think the game will be closer than a lot of people think.
No.
It's funny because looking at their schedule, UT might have the toughest schedule in the country. They play Oregon, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, and Bama. And they play Oregon, Florida, and Bama at home. I mean, away. Like I said, they might not even be 500 by the end of the year, man. They beat Austin, PA, and Western Kentucky, and they're going to beat South Alabama. Every other game is a toss-up.
All right.
Yeah. Everywhere else in the country, they call that child abuse.
Yep.
Because they're going to get beat down by about 7 different teams this year.
Yeah, they're not gonna do that. The Texas Longhorns just had a bad loss to Utah. They fired their coordinator. Yeah, and I don't even want to talk. Well, I'll go ahead and mention it too to be completely fair. USC had the worst loss. USC had this is probably the worst loss I've ever seen them play. This is the worst game I've ever seen as a USC fan. It was completely ridiculous. I've never seen the Trojans. I've never seen them not fight, and they didn't fight in this game. And it was the worst game I ever seen. They just had a players only meeting with Marquise Lee called a players only meeting, and then Bill Cruz was saying they might refuse to play underneath Lane Kiffin. Do you guys think this is going to be? The
I don't think it's Kiffin. I think it's the defensive coordinator.
Well, the defense at SC is tight. They've only given up 2 touchdowns this year, I believe. But that offense, I've never seen their offense. I mean, the quarterbacks only didn't even attempt 20 passes. You know, and it was stagnant. I think they have maybe 200 passing yards the whole season combined with the both of them. But do you guys think that this is going to be the last we're going to see of Mack Brown and Lane Kiffin this year? I mean, after this year?
About Lane Kiffin. I didn't know about this, so I saw a story. They were saying rumors circulating about Jeff Fisher, since he's a USC alum, that he could be USC's next head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, all the hype Kiffin had, he inherited a program that went on probation, Mike, and you know that better than anybody. Cozell was talking about this last year, but he think Kiffin was going to feel heat the way of USC, how they went down, and now we're hearing it again.
Here's the difference between being you know, between the I can tell when the sanctions are affecting them. That affects the depth chart and other. So I'm saying this past game, it was tight. Like I said, their offense. This was the worst game I've ever seen them play. And I've seen SC get muddied before, but this is the worst game I've ever seen them play ever. And there's fans and alumni that feel the same way.
You have to stop and put it in a perspective. and that is when USC got put on probation, they lost a lot of their recruiting to the other schools in California. A lot of it. They lost UCLA, they lost to Stanford, they lost to Oregon, all up and down the West Coast. They lost a lot of their recruiting to those other schools. And then once they lose all of their recruiting to those other schools, and then they have to play these schools and get beat by them, then all of a sudden you blame it on the coach. It ain't the coach's fault that they've lost all the talent. If you are in high school and you want to be a superstar, you don't want to go to a college that's got to spend two of your 4 years on probation.
Well, see, like I said, I understand that, Tony, but you got to understand. This is University of Washington. This is a school that's maybe have won maybe, what, five games over the past 5 years maybe?
This wasn't Oregon.
This wasn't Oregon or somebody like that. This was University of Washington. This is historically.
But when you've been depleted to the point of where you can't get the top schools, the University of Washington is getting all the top players from the state of Washington. USC is not getting all of the top recruits from anywhere.
SC, they're still getting decent talent. I mean, they had a top five class 2 years ago. I'm saying it can't be blamed. Like I say, I can tell certain stuff when it starts becoming depth chart problems and guys get injured, you can blame that on the sanctions. But when you lose 10-7 at home to Washington State, and your quarterbacks don't complete two quarterbacks don't complete over 100 yards passing, and they only attempt 20 passes, that's a problem. And that's not on the play. That's on the coach. That's on Lane Kiffin. He fired the offensive coordinator. He's calling the plays right now.
When yeah, but these
OC,
guys
he
are.
He fired going into this season, or when he fired offensive coordinator? I didn't know he fired him.
Yeah, a couple of months ago, and this, you know, and like I said, he was a fan favorite. It was a big uproar when he fired him too, because he was a
fan
favorite too.
Who he fired?
I can't think of his name right now.
Did he come up, was he on the Pete Carroll staff? Was Pete Carroll?
He was on the original staff. He was on the staff after everybody. He was on the staff when they were, you know, during the Reggie Bush years. Then he left. Then he came back. He came back when Kiffin came back. And then Kiffin got rid of him.
You talking about Norm Chow?
No, not him. He wasn't offensive coordinator back then, but he was just on that staff. But like I say, this game that they played, I mean, it was. I don't know if you guys got to see it because it was on so late, but it was ugly. Like I say, it was the ugliest game I've ever seen them play, ever. It was one of the ugliest games I've ever seen a team play. Period. I mean, I've seen stuff that happens from sanctions before, and this wasn't sanctions. This was the coach. Let's get this caller in from 561. I want to see who that is. All right, you're on with CMT Firestorm.
Big Mike.
What's going
Hello?
On, Sleepy?
What's up, Big Mike? How you doing?
I'm doing fine, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in, man, and congratulate you guys for doing the show, man. Y'all keep it going. I like listening to it.
We appreciate it, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, hold on. I can say it on here. Are you ready for some football? Okay, I'm back.
we were talking about
easy,
man. All right, Sleepy. I said, we were talking about your boys from the U. I know you was listening to that part. I know
Man, you know, even though I don't know if they, I guess they just feel like giving a bunch of teams this year a nice payday for coming to the stadium, you know, Savannah State and all these other ranking deck teams. But, I mean, you know, it's a building process. I tell people all the time, they need to put Luke Skywalker back on the sideline, get some limos, you know what I'm saying, and maybe we get the program totally back to you know, the way it was. You know, I got like five cousins that played for them, from Jonathan Harris all the way up to COVID. So, you know. So, yeah. I love you. It goes on. One day we'll be back in the light. But I guess everybody just want to come down to Miami and take all the players up to the cold places now.
Yeah. So how long do you think it's going to take for him? Hey, how long do you think it's going to take for him to come back?
Well, in actuality, what it'll actually take is the University of Miami to really make some good decisions in getting him from out of the Miami High. And other big time schools, Jackson down here. I mean, maybe like 4 years ago, I think the whole starting lineup for Iowa was all from Fort Lauderdale and Miami. So I mean, you know, you got even though Anquan Boldin has slowed down a little bit. I mean, he used to chase rabbits in the sugarcane fields of Pahokee. I mean, so speed kills. I mean, you can have good linemen and everything else. You know, they always talk about Texas and California, but I mean, you know, down here in the bottom, man, I mean, we running from the sun and everything else. I mean, it's just fast, but they don't really get that talent. I mean, when Miami slipped, then Florida State and UF started getting them, but now, you know, Florida and Florida State, they look like hot garbage. So I mean, it's most of the teams that you see now that are like in the top five, top 10, if you look at their roster, they're coming from out of Florida. So it's going to take some good recruitment from the good teams. I mean, I think we just had a Florida high school game against a team in Georgia, and they beat the snot out of them, you know, like 40-something, 50-something points. So, you know, it'll take some time. And, I mean, you know, University of Miami has been underneath scrutiny for, you know, the way they recruit and giving money to players and all this other here stuff. So they gotta run a clean-cut program, unlike everybody else in the world. Yeah, you know.
You sold on Golden. I was telling CJ, I was talking to him maybe about a month or two ago about Golden. I'm still kind of sold on him. I was saying, man, I think y'all should go hard at Charlie Strong because, you know, his name going to be up there again. Some people say he might leave. Let's say if Bush Chump leaves Florida and goes to Texas, that Charlie Strong could be the head coach of Florida.
Well, you know, when it's all said and done, like I said, it really – sometimes if you go look back at the films when Michael Irvin and all those players were out there, it's almost like they didn't even have a coach, you know what I'm saying? They were just playing because they were that talented, you follow what I'm saying? So, you know, once they get the players, it doesn't matter, you know. I mean, all you got to do is draw X's and O's and tell them to do and execute, and you got a game, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you the past couple of players, I mean, I can't really name too many of this in the league that's, you know, really outside of, you know, your running backs and stuff. But, I mean, you ain't really got no big-time names to me. I mean, you know, everybody else, they damn near all the U players done retired out of the league that was like them Stone Cold, like, name player.
Yeah, Florida, like I said, the state of Florida definitely is it's definitely a recruiting powerhouse. It's just a wonder if there's going to be, you know, room enough for the big three programs to both, you know, be on at the same time. I don't think we've ever seen that before. But anyway, Paul, let me put you on hold real quick. I'll bring another caller on from the 813. Hi, you're on with CMT Firestorm. Hello, 813.
Is that me, y'all?
Yeah, that's you.
That's me. Okay. Hey, first of all, you guys missed the boat completely. Over the last 5 years, how are you going to say Washington's only won 5 games? They've been to a bowl game 2 out of the last 5 years. And Sarkisian, and if you say the coach's name, now you start recognizing stuff. Sarkisian has done a good job of getting that program going back in the right direction. They've beat big teams over the last 3 years, including
in bowl games. We're talking about Washington State. You're talking about University of Washington.
But why you did say Washington, that's what I was saying.
No, you guys were saying Washington.
Yeah, Mike, you did say Washington. I'm like, Mike,
it's
Mike Leach.
You guys said Washington.
We're talking Mike Leach. It was a matter of time. I was saying this last year. It's just a matter of time before Mike Leach does his thing. He did it at Texas Tech. Unfortunately, he locked someone's kid that was somebody in a closet, and they got mad about it. you know? It's my
Craig James, Pac-12
is better now. What's that?
And two, Craig James not even on that ESPN show no more.
Yeah, that's a different can of worms. But like I said, I mean,
we're talking about football, fellas.
Yeah, I think Leach is going to bring the program back. You know, usually programs come back when they have a good coach. But not always, with this roster.
I'm saying this now. Write this down. The Pac-12 is going to be what the Big 12 was the last couple years. Here in the next couple years. I'm just saying it.
And why would you say that? What do you mean by that? Like, what do you mean the Big 12 in the last couple of years?
Look at the level of the coaches that have went. Mara, Sarkisian, Leach, all went over there. All those teams have gotten better. UCLA, out of the dumps. Washington, out of the dumps. Washington State, out of the dumps. They're getting better.
They're going to be the what? The Big 12.
They'll be the Big 12. They'll be like the Big 12 has been the last couple of years.
And what has the Big 12 been the last couple of years?
I was about to say, in his eyes, I believe the Big 12 is the best conference in the country.
That's why they won the national championship for 6 years, right?
Okay, we're not going to get into the argument SEC versus Big 12 or anything like that because you can't take
you
five
can't.
Team versus 12.
You can't get into that argument because you'll lose it 7 times in a row. All right, let's not get into that, man. Let's just not even get into that, man.
We're not even going to get into that.
I want to address what you said about USC and Texas, Cali, Mike. I think that Kiffin's going to keep his job. I mean, I think he's a good coach. I mean, because if you look at it, when they started probation, he kind of brought them back to a degree a little bit. You know, I think he was over anxious last year because when he went to Penn State and begged Silas Red to come over there, I think that was the warning sign right there.
Please.
You know how to stick that in there. I'm sorry.
You always do.
Hey, let me finish my point. I would keep Kiffin. I think Kiffin's a pretty good coach. I think he's shown, based on his body of work, when he was at USC, that he could stay. Now, Mac Brown's a different story. I think he's about to pack his bags to leave because, you know, he's missed one great recruit after the next, and they got Ole Miss, which is a game they could lose, and then they're definitely going to lose to Oklahoma, and they may lose to TCU. So I think that he's the guy that's going to get the axe this year. And you never know. Maybe Muschamp may leave. Maybe Florida doesn't want Muschamp no more. I don't want Charlie Strong to go there, but maybe Muschamp might be the guy to leave Florida. But I don't know. It's kind of hard to leave Florida and go to Texas. It's kind of like going from one great school to another. But maybe he wants to be in Texas. I don't know.
But you don't leave the University of Florida.
Right.
You get fired from the University of Florida.
Did Steve Stoyer get fired?
Steve Stoyer left.
He got offered by the NFL.
You guys insane?
As usual.
No, Urban Meyer was going to get fired. That's why
he
left.
Absolutely. Now, that's true.
Yeah.
What Wiley said there was true.
Oh, that's true.
He was going to get fired.
He was going to get fired.
Yeah, he was going to get fired because he was because
about to be the vice president too.
Well, hold on. Listen to me, Matt. All right, and Mike. Now, and I know y'all don't agree with me with this, but and Matt, you were here in Tampa when this was going on.
You have anything to do with the Republican Party and politics?
No. That's Tebow. What I'm saying here is this. Remember we were at Gators and Alabama whooped up on them. I'm saying when Alabama and LSU were beating the snot out of them.
I'm not going to listen to that argument.
That's what was pushing Urban Meyer out the door. Trust me on that.
No, I thought you were going to take that.
That's not why.
Tony,
that's not why I'm telling you. You know why he was going to get fired? Because Hernandez was doing some crazy shit in Gainesville.
I agree with Tony on this one.
Now, listen to me. He was doing some crazy shit in Gainesville, and they were covering it up, and Meyer knew about it, and they were afraid that it was going to get out, and if it got out, he was going to get fired. So what they did was they made sure it didn't get out. That's when he pulled that heart attack shit. You remember when he called that, oh, I got a heart attack and I need to stop coaching? That's what was going on for real.
I agree. Okay, I agree with that story.
That makes a lot of sense. I probably say yeah, because I try to say it probably had to come from some, you know, allegations where he was forced out, probably had to force out to resign. Or if he wasn't going to resign, like you said, get fired.
It should show you right now, here he was talking about, I can't coach no more because of my heart, and I want to spend time with my family. He quits, and 6 months later, he's the head coach
right
of Ohio.
Back.
What'd you do, get a heart transplant?
No. What happened was, he quit. 6 months later, he came back. He coached the following year, and he got blowed out by Alabama and LSU that year, and he was like, man, I'm out.
Oh, my goodness.
He was like, I'm out.
Okay.
That's what happened.
Come on,
but whatever. Okay, it's what happened. I was, whatever. Because he was getting blown out both years. He was getting blown out 2 years in a row.
Let's get back on track here. We're gonna start wrapping up college football. I want you guys to each give me your top five teams right now for power rankings in college football.
I was gonna say my point about Texas, but you were saying Coker. I think, you know, I kind of agree that the way things, Mac Brown already fired, you know, on Monday, his defensive coordinator. Like I was saying again, the name Kevin Sumlin got Texas, you know, Texas A&M, so he's getting all the recruits. And, you know, Texas is Texas, but you never know. You know, his name might be floating around for Texas. You never know. I thought about maybe he decided to go to Texas because the money, the facilities, is Texas. But then, too, Texas A&M is in the SEC. I think Texas' mistake possibly maybe cost him about not landing Sumlin not being in the SEC. That's maybe the only reason why I could say maybe Sumlin stay in Texas, offer him the job of him staying at A&M because A&M is in the SEC. So, I mean, well, I think Texas need to go get someone maybe – a new coach, a new start, or a younger coach, but I think Mac Brown is done.
Okay.
At number five, in my top five power ranking, at number five, and this is just from the games I watched this weekend, at number five, I'd have to put Michigan. At number four, I'd have to say at number five, I got Michigan. At number four, I'd have to say Ohio State. At number three, what Clemson did to Florida was—what Clemson did to Georgia was crazy. So I'm gonna have to go on and give Clemson number three. I'll give Alabama number two, and I gotta go with the Ducks number one.
Okay. Pavel.
Number one to five. Number one, I got Oregon. Number two, I got Florida State. Number three, I got Alabama. Number four, I got Texas A&M. And number five, I have Clemson.
Mike.
Well, I'm going to be different from all y'all, too. And I'm surprised that the man didn't say it. He keep on... you know, brags about it, says it, but doesn't put it from the beginning. I'm going number one, Alabama. Hey, I know the first week, the offense was kind of sluggish line, but, hey, they still the champions. They still undefeated 2-0. It could change after this week. Number two, Texas A&M. I like them. They still playing good, and we're going to see a big test on the showdown this Saturday between them and A&M. And I'm staying on the record. I think Texas A&M is going to beat Alabama. Number three, Ohio State. They still undefeated. Again, Urban Meyer still haven't lost the game, so I got to still put them up there. Number four, Clemson. They still high, you know, representing the ACC. And number five, I like Louisville. Teddy Bridgewater, Charlie Strong, and them, hey. They looking good. Hey, you said, I mean, you know, maybe about a week or 2 weeks ago, hey, I think it was right through there. Hey, Louisville could be a team that could be in that national championship.
Okay, Matt. Matt, you still on with us?
Yeah. Number one, I have to go with Alabama, too. Because I still think that they are the best in college football. And they're just, they just keep reloading. You don't need to know who that guy's name is behind the senior that graduates or the junior that goes to the NFL, because that guy shows who he is on the field. And I like that. And that's what Alabama's doing right now. And like your man there just said, they got the belt. Until somebody shows it better, you know. And one game ain't going to count.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, hell no to Texas A&M. You aren't even in the top five. Sorry, Texas A&M. Y'all look slick. You can sit there at number six. Number two, I have to go to Oregon. They just lost their mastermind head coach, and they're still doing the same exact thing without a hiccup. I like that. Number three, Florida State. Completely and utterly dismantled the team and had it. That was week, their first week was superb. Second week was still good. Number three, I have to go with Clemson. Clemson beat Georgia, and then Georgia turned around and beat South Carolina to show that still they could still play football. It wasn't a fluke. They still play. Number five, I kind of struggle with number five. You know, I think probably Louisville. Probably put Louisville at five. I don't know. Five could be interchangeable with other teams, but I'll go with Louisville right now.
Yeah, I got the same top five as Matt has right now. Real quick, predictions, Alabama, Texas A&M. Clavel?
Man, I hate you, man. Shucks, man. I'm a fan of Alabama, but I have to be objective. I'm going to go by Alabama. I'm going to go with Alabama, but I wouldn't be surprised. Objectively, I'm being objective. I'm going Alabama barely, but something tells me I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M win this game.
Mike,
we're going for Alabama, though. What'd you say?
Why, because they whooped your ass last year?
No, because the offense of Alabama, look how they're playing right now. I know, right?
Yeah,
you just worry about UCLA this weekend. That's all y'all got to worry about.
I just said it, and I just posted on Facebook,
yeah.
And I'm saying it again.
I'll be there.
Texas A&M, man. Like I said, Kevin Sullivan, I like his style as a coach. Like I said, he getting it. Last year, people would say, well, this and that. Hey, this ain't no fluke. Texas A&M is for real. They're going to get it going. Okay. On Saturday, like I say, Kevin Sullivan reminds me of Mike Tomlin, but this. He's on the offensive side, and Tom is a defensive mind, but he's just that guy. Texas A&M,
hey.
Baby.
Tony.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right. Let me say it real clear. The Alabama-Clemson Tide gonna bust that ass. You know why? Listen to me. Alabama went into that game last year not knowing who Texas A&M was. Alabama went into that game last year, Texas A&M first getting into the SEC. They underestimated them, so forth and so on. Alabama-Clemson Tide is going into that game this year with their eyes wide open, and they going to whoop that ass.
They can be mad and angry, but hey, we shall see.
They're going to whoop that ass. I say Bama by 10.
Okay, Matt, who you got?
Alabama. I mean, funny is, Wally made a good point there in his rant. You know why? Because Saban is good at losing and then flipping the script completely. Look at the other year when they lost in that baseball score game to LSU. They came back and just whooped on the second time they played them that year. I mean, he's good at flipping the script and learning from his mistakes and not making those mistakes again. I don't think Johnny Manziel is going to play all that great. I think the Alabama game is going to be the one that kills his chance at Heisman. And I think Yeldon's going to have 130 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Alabama, 21. TAMU?
No.
17.
21-17. At least you're making it a game. But like I say again, Saban's a heck of a coach. But like I say again, Kevin Sumlin, he's a coach, man. Went to Houston, they went undefeated like
coach,
that, what he did. Undefeated. Hey, and then last year, we came in, that. I didn't see Texas A&M. I thought Texas A&M probably lose, you know, several games, but they came out pretty good. And they first year in the SEC now, it's just, man, you just got coach, man. And I think
let's wrap up our college section. We gotta get kind of short on time here. Let's move into the NFL. We had a lot of big games this past week. Green Bay and San Fran. The Bears won too, Mike. Go right ahead and congratulate yourself. New Orleans beat Atlanta, and Denver dismantled Baltimore with seven big touchdowns by Peyton Manning, Tony's favorite player. What did you guys take away from this week in the NFL, or last week in the NFL?
I got some Tampa Bay season tickets I want to sell. Anybody want them?
Hey, you got a ticket for the game on Sunday?
I'll take it.
You got a ticket for the game on Sunday?
Of course. I got season tickets to them sorry-ass teams. That sorry-ass team.
The longer you realize the longer you hold on to those, you're going to have to pay people to take those from you, right, instead of the other way around.
Yes, I do know that.
And I kind of want to get into I don't know if we're going to have time to get into Tampa a little bit. There's some stuff going down here in Tampa with Josh Freeman and the coach and stuff like that that a lot of people aren't knowing about. You know what I'm talking about, Matt?
Okay, hold on. Let me ask you a question. What was this going on with the players voting him as not a captain?
Hold on, Matt. You want to talk? You want to tell him?
There's not a whole lot to it. Really, there isn't. A captain, all the captains do is go to the middle of the field for the coin flip. That's the captain. And the players vote who's going to go call heads or tails. That's it. That's your captain. That's what the captain does.
No. Hold on, Matt. There's a little bit more to the story. I don't know if you heard this. Today it came out that there was a players-only meeting. I don't know if you heard about that. The issue is now, like, the city of Tampa. Now, I don't know, Matt, you may disagree with me here, but the radio here, they're going after Josh Freeman. But the players on the team now seem like they're turning their heads towards the coach. So I think maybe that's what that players' meeting, that's what people are suspecting that players' meeting was about, as in regards to, you know, people are saying it was about Josh Freeman being the captain, but a lot of it was, you know, how are we going to handle with this coach that we're dealing with? Because, you know, he's more of these – he's kind of like Tom Coughlin Jr. He's kind of one of those guys, like, you know, really disciplinarian, you know, and it kind of rubs some people the wrong way. And so the team looks like they're turning their heads against Coach Schiano, you know. That's what the vibe is on the radio now.
Come on, people. You all should know better. Any of you guys that have played any type of sport, you know that the captain is more than just somebody that goes out to the middle of the field. No, he doesn't have any real powers, but the person that is the captain of your team, you have said he is the head. He is your leader. They have lost confidence in Freeman, and that's why they didn't make him the captain.
I agree with Tony.
I kind of agree with Matt.
Team captain does not make you a leader.
Yes, it does.
The leader of the team.
You must have never played football.
No, Matt. Hey, Wiley. I understand where Matt's coming from.
Let me ask you this. Hold on. Davin Joseph, is he running that offense? What's Davin Joseph doing? Oh, wait. He's blocking, kind of. And part of the problem this past week was the communication on the offensive line. That was part of the big problem. Kareemi doesn't know what the hell's going on. And he's trying to
but
fit
the captain
in.
Is
it's
the person
working.
That everybody else on the team respects. And what they just told Freeman is, you're not that person.
How long has people been talking about? Guys,
how long
stop
has he
listening.
Been captain?
98.7.
Has Freeman
the
been captain of the Bucs?
Oh, yeah, that's why I stay glued on 98.7. Yeah, I do. I'm not going to lie to you. I do listen to your station, too. I do listen to both. But the thing is, the issue is this whole Josh Freeman, Greg Schiano issue, because the word is there's a rift between Josh Freeman and Greg Schiano. And it's drifting now, and that's what the suspicion is drifting into the locker room. Where, you know, a lot of people in the locker room are like, Josh Freeman should be the captain. You know, this guy should
well,
be,
I
you know, the face of the
I
team.
I don't think there's a lot of people calling up if they voted him out of being captain.
I know, but they had a team. But,
sure
no, but the point is, they had a team meeting today. No, they had a team meeting today to address that. Because I think this whole rift between Schiano and Josh Freeman is going into the locker room. Particularly
okay,
since they lost last week
long,
to the Jets.
How long had Freeman been captain?
I don't know.
Three years.
2 years? I don't know.
3 years. Three out of four years.
2 years.
If he's been captain of that team for 3 years, and this is the first year he's not captain, they did that for a reason. They did that because they don't have
a they did that at the beginning of the year. That's what I'm saying. They did that 2 weeks ago, three weeks ago.
Two? What are you talking about?
Mike, listen to me.
Let me ask one question real quick.
What's the question?
Who's the leader on the defense?
I don't know. Levante David?
Gerald McCoy?
Okay.
I don't know, to be honest with you. I really don't know.
Levante David and Darrell Revis are not captains. Those are probably your two best defensive players.
See, but you are looking at the external football team. The captain is the person that is the most respected person for the teammates, and that means they respect him as his leader, as their leader. And I'm telling you, Josh Freeman has lost that position.
Hold on, Matt.
I gotta agree with Tony, you guys.
I kind of agree with Matt a little bit there, because I mean, a lot of times, because I remember I played football and the coach was like, he sent different guys every week to flip the coin, and those are considered the captains.
Just think about what you said. The coach. This is the players voting.
Yeah.
If a player has been voted captain for 3 years in a row, and all of a sudden they don't do it anymore. That's an insult. That's a diss.
No, but see, my point is, okay, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying, Callie Mike, but that has caused a rift in the locker room right now, and half of the team is with Freeman. And I don't know this. It's assumed that half the team is with Freeman now, and the other half is with Schiano. He's causing a rift in the locker room because of that.
I was going to say.
And particularly, it's made it even worse because they lost last weekend.
Voted for captain, not Schiano. Schiano had nothing to do with that.
Yes, but the players are turning. The rumor is now that the players are now starting to turn against Schiano. You know, the city was against.
That's what I was going to say. You think Schiano is losing the team? After 1 week.
Well, I don't know. We're going to see this weekend. Which I will be at the game. I will be at the game this weekend, too, as a matter of fact. And we'll see this weekend.
They got committed back to that game. They made that one bad play where pushing Gio out and got that 15 yards and got the Jets the chance to win the game, but. They really had that game.
Matt, what's your take on this?
First of all, forgot what I was going to say.
About Freeman and Shiano?
Listen, Josh Freeman obviously is not exuding confidence. Maybe part of that is what is leading him not to be captain. But what I'm saying is people are weighing too much and reading too much into this captain stuff. I was there in training camp. I work for 620. We are the report for the project.
But you are not in that. You are not in that.
Let him finish. Let him finish, Wiley. Let him finish, man.
Let him finish.
And the captain doesn't, like I said, it doesn't necessarily mean that they feel that that is the unsung leader of the team. It's not always that way. Some people don't want to be named the captain of the team, regardless of what. They don't want that responsibility. Gerald McCoy wants that. He likes to talk. He likes to lead people. It's suited for him. Levante David is a quiet guy. He doesn't talk much. Really, he doesn't.
The captain is not something you run for. It's something you are chosen to be because they respect you. You guys act like you've never played on a team before. If you've ever played, you know what the captain means to your team.
Instead of talking about who's captain and who's not, because obviously. Who's captain? Who's not? It's not going to win football games.
Hold up now. Okay, and I know we got. I really want to get this question in, and I know we got to move on to the next session. I kind of directed this question towards Matt a little bit. Now, from what I've observed with this players only meeting, that might like you said, Josh Freeman is not exuding confidence. I agree with you, and I believe that is due to the fact that Shiano does not want him as the quarterback, and plus the city of Tampa, in my personal opinion, Matt, and that's just my opinion, don't want him now. Now that the fact that it appears that the locker room is divided and a lot of them are against Shiano, will that basically enforce more confidence into Freeman because he's like, okay, I'm not the only one here that don't like this guy, so now we can come together and rally behind against the coach?
Well, wait a minute, Carville. You're asking a question.
Not rally, but like it transferred on the team. Like that's what the Giants did with Dom Coughlin. That's how they were able to win the Super Bowl.
You're asking a question based off the assumption that the locker room is divided in favor of Freeman, which we don't know.
Well, that's where a lot of reports are coming out. That's a lot of
reports. And what I've seen and what I've heard from the Buccaneers and from players of the Buccaneers, there's no divide in the locker room. There's miscommunications and cadences and calls on the field. That's what's messed up right now.
That's what you've heard
Josh
today.
Freeman, That's what I understand.
Okay, let's get more straightforward then, Matt. Okay, is the locker room still behind Freeman?
It's hard to say. I mean, his actions sometimes say. I mean, Daquan Bowers. Look at for Daquan Bowers, for example. Obviously, they were behind Daquan Bowers. That's why they let Bennett go. That's why they haven't even really picked up a pass rusher. So. It's pretty late in the game to really be looking around the league to mix and match and fit stuff in. Is ideally Freeman what he wanted? Probably not. And I think he would want someone different, like an Andrew Luck, a quarterback like that.
Well, everybody wants him, shit.
That's what he wants. a quarterback like Andrew Luck, like Joe Flacco. Now, does that mean that he doesn't believe in Josh Freeman, that he doesn't support him? No, he believes in Josh Freeman, otherwise he wouldn't be starting right now.
Okay.
That's point simple. You don't sacrifice your arm to save your finger. You know?
At the last Bucs game, I went to the last Bucs preseason game. Like I said, I got season tickets. I went to the last preseason
game.
Let me finish what I'm saying. And when you're sitting in there in the lobby and you're listening to Bucs radio, they said something as a joke that was very, very relevant. And that is, in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the most favorite quarterback has been the one not playing. It's always been that way. Freeman's not the first quarterback that everybody hated. Everybody always likes the quarterback on the sideline because he's the only quarterback not fucking up.
Okay, that's fair.
Good point.
But,
yeah.
But hold on. Statistically, Josh Freeman has the best statistics, season statistics in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the city pretty much wants him out. They want him out. I mean, that's what they're saying. They want him out. I mean, you may disagree with me, Matt, but it's the truth. What'd you say?
I take phone calls for the sports page and the Ron and Ian show, and I listen to the Big Dog show, too. It's not a lot of people against – it's against him. It's – I don't know. I think it all depends on the radio station that you listen at. A lot of people here in Tampa Bay, and again – it's not necessarily me dissing Tampa Bay because I love Tampa Bay. You know, it's a part of me now. This is my home. A lot of people here just like the bitch. That's it.
Yeah,
exactly. You got a team. All right, you got a team in baseball. You got a team in baseball that's won the pennant 2 out of 5 years and went into the postseason 3 out of 5 years and 1 year in the World Series. But can we get more than $5,000 there on any given night that's not a Yankees or Boston game? I mean, we were making jokes. Seriously, we were making jokes on the radio about the Rays being the Rays station, saying that, you know, Boston has a home field advantage here because they bring more fans. I mean, the best thing that we can do here in Tampa Bay, and any of you can do in your respective communities, regardless if you're a fan or not of the team, go to the game. Go to the game. If you're a sports fan, you owe it to your community to do that deed. Buy a ticket, go to the game. Watch the game. That's how you keep those teams in those cities. Park your ass in the seat.
That's three guys. As a Raiders and a Niners fan, I can attest to that. Folks don't realize when you don't go to the game and your team is gone, you can't complain about it. So, you know.
That's why I own season tickets to the Succoneers.
I've had this before. I was trying to say this, though. Julius Peppers is one of our team leaders, and he's not vocal. And he's been captain ever since he's been with the Bears.
He's the best defensive player you guys got, so it's kind of different. But
they were two captains, so yeah. Now, I get what you're saying, though.
Okay, let's look forward to some of the games coming up this week. Couple of key games we have. Speaking of Tampa Bay, we got New Orleans at Tampa Bay. Who you guys got in that game, and why?
That's funny.
I was going to say this, since I called it last week, I think all y'all had said Atlanta, and I had picked New Orleans to beat Atlanta. I'm saying,
you got to put Steve
back
on, too, at some point.
I say the Saints,
okay,
man.
Yeah.
I think the Saints probably beat them, might be double digits.
I don't know. That team meeting, usually nothing good comes out of team meetings. So,
man, sometimes it's good.
Give me an example. I don't know. Give me an example. I don't think good things come out of team meetings.
The Giants had a team meeting before the Liberal was offering the first time and seeing how they were feeling. Y'all got it going on.
Yeah, they were rallying against the coach. That's why they did it. And I don't know. Maybe Tampa could do this, you know, with this Freeman-Schiano situation. I don't know. Whatever. It's all speculation. Never mind. But to answer your question, I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm going to go with the Bucks. I'm just guessing.
For me, I'm going to say that I am going to enjoy my pretzel, and I am going to have probably mustard and maybe a little cheese with it, because that's going to be the best entertainment I'm going to get out of that game this weekend.
So you think it's a blowout for the Saints, pretty much? Not a blowout, but a pretty good win for the Saints.
Absolutely.
Really?
Right. Absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised either.
I am just going to sit in my seat and enjoy my pretzel.
If the Bucks get blown out,
What'd
you say?
They struggle against the Jets. The Jets, to me, offensively probably might be one of the worst offensive teams in the league, and they struggled to beat them. I mean, they lost.
That's true.
One point
and,
to the Jets.
Freeman did play horrible against them, too. Hey, Matt, let me ask you a question.
Well, he let them do whatever.
If they start off, if the Bucks start off 0-3, could we possibly see Schiano gone?
No. They're not going to fire anybody in season.
You don't think they're going to make a switch like that?
I don't think they're going to just stop after 2 years. You know, I don't see anything right now where the writing's on the wall. You got to win or you're out. It looks like they're actually giving
Look at what they did to the previous coach.
Yeah.
Ronnie Moore
was there
never
for
been
two
a head
years.
Coach in the NFL.
It doesn't matter. He was there for 2 years, and in his first year, he almost took him the NFC Championship game, and they still got rid of him the next year.
Because everything fell apart.
That's what I'm saying. Do you don't think? But Matt, hold up though, Matt. Hold on, Matt. But if Schiano loses the team, which is there's a lot of rumors going on right now that might happen. You don't think would the Bucks fire him? Isn't it justified that the Bucks fire him at the end of the year?
If it ends up in a disarray and people just quit and don't play, yeah, I could foresee that happening.
Yeah.
That was going to be with any coach, with any team in the NFL. But, last year he got the success from them that he got from them because he was the toes-on-the-line coach. He did that his first year to establish what he wanted to do. He's been more lax this year. That's the problem. He changed. When you deal with people, you have to be consistent. If you're going to be a dick on day one, you have to be a dick on day two, dick 1,000, dick on day 1,057. You have to continue to be a dick. That's it. You have to be consistent. If you're going to be soft, you got to be soft. Raheem Morris wanted to be their friend more than their boss. That's where he went wrong.
Okay,
and when you become
good.
Friends with someone, now they have more reason to say shit to your face because, you know, that's what friends do. They say shit to your face.
Well, friends were winning.
And that's what they did. They didn't respect him.
Well, their friends were winning. The dick don't seem to be winning right now.
It was the first year. I mean, everybody buys in at the beginning.
He's 0-1 in the second year.
The thing is, I see where you're coming from, Matt. The thing is, in terms of discipline, I don't even think the team, when I look at the team of Bucks, when I saw them last week, they didn't seem more disciplined
The problem is the lack of communication. We're taking Joseph that didn't play at all last year. He's getting put in. Carl Nix that missed half the year. He's moving in and out. He actually, for the first time today, practiced since the whole Mirtha thing came up.
I think the whole thing goes back to the whole idea of taking a college coach, putting him in the NFL, and he thinks he can treat them millionaire grown men like he treated them teenage boys. And he ain't going to get them millionaire grown men to listen to him the way he got them teenage boys to listen to him.
Mm-hmm. That's why Saban's not coaching the NFL.
Hello?
Yeah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm
here.
You
guys on?
Yeah. Fazell,
okay,
Matt?
Yeah, we just had an issue with the studio. Fazell, are you still on? Okay, I think that was Fazell. He dropped off. Matt, are you still on?
I guess we lost him, too.
Okay, anyway, let me bring Steve on, man.
Go ahead.
Hey, Steve?
Hello?
Okay, yeah, is everybody on?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm sorry. Something happened. I'm good.
Okay. Steve, you're on with us. We're looking at upcoming games for this week. We're looking at Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Washington, and Green Bay, San Francisco, Seattle. What do you think about a Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Steve?
Well, I was getting kind of sick to my ears about listening to the Bucks. I don't even like to talk about them. Like, there's other important teams in the NFL. Like, y'all are missing the Manning brothers playing this week. New York Giants and the Denver Broncos. That might be a more interesting game than talking about Josh Freeman and his soft behind. I don't want to hear about the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Amen.
You got the 49ers and the Seahawks playing this at 7:30. Come on, let's talk about some real football here, man. We already know the New Orleans Saints are going to run away with that game. That's like we're wasting talking about the Bucks. Let's talk about something real.
Let's look at San Francisco, Seattle. Frisco's coming off a big game. Kaepernick's coming off of 400 yards passing against Green Bay. Seattle, always tough defense. Who do you got in this game?
I got the 49ers.
Okay. Why do you think they're going to come on top?
Hmm?
Why do you think they're going to come?
I mean, I just think, you know, from what I saw, I think the offense is clicking on all cylinders as far as compared to what I saw with Seattle. Yeah, Carolina has a defense that probably doesn't get as much appreciation as it should, but I just see the whole team clicking. Colin Kaepernick I just like the way the team is set up, man. Anquan Boldin, you know, Frank Gore. It's just how they – all the pieces that they put together there, it just seems like the 49ers are a superior team. So I just think they're going to surprise a lot of people, and I don't think the game's going to be close. I think the 49ers win by at least two touchdowns.
I kind of see what you're saying because I didn't know Seattle could have lost again. I mean, could have lost to Carolina. I mean, if D'Angelo Williams didn't fumble in the end zone, Carolina probably would have got them, you know.
Right.
They didn't score. They scored only 7 points. San Francisco had a, you know, pretty much a team where, you know, I have Seattle in the NFC Championship. I mean, they played against Green Bay, a team that could be a team who's a contender, and then they beat them at home. So, momentum-wise and edge-wise, I mean, I think San Francisco has the edge. And I wouldn't be surprised if it goes double digits of 10-10, but I'll give a point spread to San Francisco at least by 7 to beat Seattle.
I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks. I got Seattle Seahawks winning the Super Bowl this year.
What?
So, yes. I got the Seattle Seahawks against the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl this year.
Somebody hasn't been watching football this year.
Okay. We will see at the end of the year.
Because both of them teams struggled game one.
Yep.
Against me first.
About game one. There's 17 games.
Hey.
They did, because New England almost could have lost to Manuel and them boys. I believe why I don't like New England, because I still think losing Hernandez and, you know, Gronk is, you know, in and out, you know, see how healthy he is. And you don't have Brandon Lloyd and Wes Walker. That's going to come back to, I think, impact them. Unless they defense, like I say again, unless they defense rise up and play real big in a big way, I just, you know. They have to do that to me to fail them to put New England in the Super Bowl. I don't even think they're going to get to the championship.
New England's got the easiest conference in the AFC. Who's going to stop them until they get to the playoffs? Ain't nobody going to stop them until they get to the playoffs. And then who's going to stop them?
The AFC North is the worst conference in the AFC.
Come on, New England plays Miami, the New York Jets, and
I agree with
Buffalo Bills.
I think
they're gonna beat all of them teams both times.
I think the East is weak right now. The Dolphins is kind of they right there, but
I think everybody else is. I mean, the Jets and the Bills, you know, that's games New England should
get
them.
That's why New England going to run away with it. They're going to beat all three of them teams both times they play them, and they're going to be the AFC East champions, and then they're going to go as the divisional champions into the playoffs, and then they only got to win two games to go to the Super Bowl.
So you're saying they're going to dominate the Dolphins? That's what you're saying?
Absolutely.
I beg to differ.
All right, we said it right here. We'll see.
Maybe one, but I mean, that's what I got to say. Interesting. Let's see how, I mean, they got a second-year quarterback. Let's see how Tannehill does against Belichick and them. Like I said, it wasn't surprising either, but the Dolphins, like, you know, I know, you know, he kind of had a little battle against the Brownies, and I know Mike Wallace, he didn't really play his best in that game, and I know if Jamal was on here, he'd probably be saying, yeah, about Mike Wallace, that the Dolphins overpaid for him.
I mean, you got to understand, he's in a new offense. He's got to get Tannehill has a better relationship with Brian Hartline. That's why he's on my fantasy team, because he's got a better relationship with Hartline. So at the same time, he's got to work his way in. He's got to show them that he can be more than just a go route. You know what I mean? The teams are going to double team him. So you know what's going to happen? Brian Hartline, Gibson's going to be open. I mean, the Dolphins is going to be better than what y'all think. Once they get the running game a little bit better, they'll be better than what y'all think. And Tannehill is a captain, unlike Josh Freeman. So that ends that discussion.
You think the Dolphins going to make the playoffs?
You think Tannehill's better than Josh Freeman?
Is he better than Josh Freeman?
Yeah, you think he's better than Josh Freeman?
Yes, I do.
He's playing better. He's playing better than him right now.
Right now, I don't think he's better than
him. Even last year, he played a little bit better than
him. He didn't play better than Josh Freeman last year. Josh Freeman had an okay year last year. A lot of people don't get that. But that's the thing that people don't see, but it's whatever.
I mean, Josh Freeman, he did put up some good numbers. We're not going to argue about that. You know, they got deeper issues from what y'all were just saying earlier before the conversation. You know, it's deeper than just Josh Freeman. Anybody that follows us knows that. You know what I mean? It's not just Josh Freeman. It goes deeper than that. Josh Freeman's got a lot of talent. I mean, I just don't think he's in the best situation right now. So, I mean, it's deeper than Josh Freeman for the Bucks, to be honest with you. So
it's the coach and it's the quarterback and the coach ain't getting along. That's what the ultimate problem is.
Right, that's the issue.
I remember Charlie Mike was writing about Josh Freeman when he was coming out. I mean, he do have that ability. I mean, like you said, sometimes a change might be best for one of the two. And I guess maybe it probably boils down to it. You know how a coach, you know, a GM wants their guy when they bring that coach in, you know, and sometimes, you know, the guy who's there, I mean, Hugh Jackson. We all thought, you know, I thought he did up good, you know, yeah, but hey, new GM there came in, wanted his guy, you know. If it fails, he wants to say, hey, it was on me. Well, I brought my guy in. Well, Shiano comes in, inherits Josh Freeman. I guess Shiano pretty much wants his quarterback. Obviously wasn't maybe that crazy about him, so that's where the problem is. He wants to bring in his own quarterback or make the selection to bring the quarterback he wants. So that's where it boils down to.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I think it goes higher than all of that. I think it goes all the way to the top. The owner of the Tampa Bay Bucks is losing money because ain't nobody going to those games. Because he's losing money, he's cutting back on stuff. He's cutting players that need to stay there. He's trying to cut contracts and salaries. And all of his employees are unhappy. And when you are unhappy at work, you are not going to give 100%. And I think that's what's going on in that organization.
I kind of agree, and I really want Josh Freeman to maybe go somewhere else. I don't want to continue to talk about the Bucks because I know you got a lot of stuff to talk about, but you know, I just hope he goes somewhere else, someplace that people want him at, which is I don't know where it's going to be though. But anyway, keep going.
The real bad man is David.
Let me ask you guys a question: what were the surprises you guys had from Week One player wise?
Reggie Bush. I did not see that happening.
Now, I've been telling people for the past couple of years, including Carvell Mathis, that's how Reggie Bush is supposed to be used in a game.
Yeah. I agree with you. He looked pretty good. I was very impressed with Reggie Bush.
I was shocked.
I put him at the top of the list also.
Honestly, and I'm not just being a USC fan, I'm not shocked because he's been misused since he's been in the league. And I kept telling people that. The dude has you just can't eliminate speed. You know, speed is something you can't teach. It's something that doesn't go away. You know, and if you put a guy in an open space and get him some blocking, I mean, damn, it's football. It's not rocket science. Come on, man.
I'll say Joe Flacco. I guess it was a team loss, but Flacco, I mean, he was competitive for a while, but the thing that changed in the middle of that game is Harbaugh should have challenged that play. I don't see how they missed it when the drop by Wes Walker. That pretty much changed the whole thing right there, and Baltimore never recovered from that. But Flacco, I thought, no, he played. Wait. He was still showing his Kool-Aid from how he played in the Super Bowl.
You think that had a bigger impact on the game than the 7 touchdowns that Peyton Manning threw?
I mean, Peyton Manning. Hey, I'm not down Peyton Manning. After what he did last year, I'm like, hey,
yeah,
anything's possible with Peyton.
Hey, Tony,
I didn't think Flacco was gonna keep his performance. You know, having so much level how he played in the Super Bowl, and I was kind of having some doubt on it about him, but you know, he still has it.
Even Tony Dungy,
you know, I don't know if y'all saw the pregame was saying that Flacco, he has that it. Tony Dungy even picked the Ravens to beat the Broncos, and saying like, man, Flacco, this guy has it. I'm like, okay, then saying it again, he still does it.
They forgot who they're going up against. Tony, what did you take away from Peyton Manning to that game?
Well, again, I have told y'all a million times, Peyton Manning Peyton Manning is like that stud in high school that all the girls and they think he's so sexy and everybody's crazy about him, but the second the girl gets him in bed, he can't get it up.
The man just threw 7 touchdowns.
Like I said, all year long he'll do great until he gets to when it counts in the playoffs, and then he gonna turn into the real Peyton Manning.
I was gonna say this, even though we were talking about that topic while I was doing the show. I'm seeing NFL Network. They had two Bucks coaches, Tony Dungy and John Gruden, up for a preliminary, have a chance of being in the Hall of Fame. So I was just bringing attention. So we talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I thought I was wild about John Gruden. I wouldn't necessarily put his name as a Hall of Fame coach. He did straight with Oakland, but what did he do in Tampa Bay? That's all I got to say. Pretty much Tampa Bay ran him out of there.
Going back to Peyton Manning, I mean, Tony, I mean, can we say, since we've seen what happened in Indianapolis after he left and what he's done in Denver, can we say that maybe the team of Indianapolis weren't really seeing that? I mean, you just don't
know
the top team to a number one.
I can't say that. I can't say, you know why? Because I have watched this guy since he was 18 years old. I have watched this guy since he was in college, and he does it every time. He will win all 9 games till he get to that 10th game that really matters, and he will blow it every time since he was a freshman at the University of Tennessee.
Okay, but let's be real. How good were those Tennessee teams? Besides maybe the last year where those were good teams, those first couple of teams he was there, those weren't really that good teams, no?
Yeah, they were.
I'm just telling you, Manning is who he is. He is very predictable in crunch time. Very predictable.
So you're saying he's not a clutch player?
And not in the playoffs.
No, what I'm saying is, in clutch time, he wants to be Superman, and he turns out to be Viagra Man.
Yeah, in the playoffs, he's not clutch, except for that one year he went to the Super Bowl. Other than that, I mean, championship game, playoffs, he folds.
Thank you. Thank you. Look at all championship games Peyton Manning's been in. Look at all SEC championships Peyton Manning's been in. Look at every Florida
game
he played in college.
He's won the SEC championship game. He's won the SEC championship, though.
He went to one, and that was the end of the year. And the only reason he got there then is because Georgia beat Florida, because Florida put it on him.
Yeah, that did happen. Florida did beat him that year, and then they got blew out by Nebraska. I know you're listening, Matt.
Let's
I don't know. Did you guys get to see the Raiders game?
I saw a little bit of it, yeah. Terrell Pryor, he looked okay.
Terrell Pryor.
He needs to improve his passing. And I really don't like the fact he threw that interception at the end of the game. That was horrible. But I like what I saw.
But I mean, now can you kind of understand what I was saying, that what I said before, that he's the kind of guy like a Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick kind of guy.
I don't know about that. He needs to up that his passing ability. But in terms of running ability, making plays.
You got to. This is his first game starting. Well, not his first game starting. This is his second game. I mean, Dude is essentially a rookie. He's younger than Andrew Luck. I mean, like I said, dude is essentially a rookie right now. You know, he's been sitting on the bench for 2 years. I mean, to me, I think he was balling, man. I mean, like I said, it's, you know, I see a lot of upside. You know?
I do too.
I'm going to say this on national radio. I have a man crush on Cam Newton.
Okay.
I think he is the best NFL quarterback there is. Yes, he's young. He's only in his third year. But I'm telling you, when it's all over with, he is going to be the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
I see where you're coming from, but look at the game he had against Seattle, though. He had an opportunity to win the game, and he couldn't do it. I can't go there. I mean, he got the Michael Jordan look. He might look like my Michael Jordan or LeBron James. But
running back fumbling in the red zone, Clyde. I mean, he fumbled right in the red zone, hurt. I mean, they had a chance to win.
Yeah, I like him. He's a star, but he ain't like, I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be like Michael Jordan type of player.
You got to realize, the reason why Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan, and the reason why LeBron is LeBron, is because they got a supporting cast around them to help them show their greatness. When Cam finally gets a supporting cast around him, he is going to be the man.
I don't know about that, because think about it. Michael Jordan has Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen and who? Luke Longley? Bill Cartwright in his heyday? I don't know about that.
Dennis Rodman, Tony Kukoc, Steve Kerr, those are all, we're getting the best.
Well, he elevated their games.
Yeah.
I'll give you Rodman.
Come on, dog.
That's
all right, never mind.
I don't even want to run on a tangent here, man.
But think about it.
I think you can give him some weapons. I mean, be more on a passing attack. Yeah, he doesn't. He really doesn't have Steve Smith. You know, he's at the end. You know, I mean, to me, I guess D'Angelo and Stewart, to me, just guys. I mean, you know, they're getting paid well. They have abilities. They're not putting it together.
Y'all talking about
Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning got put into a system that is already a good system. You got to realize Tim Tebow took them boys to the playoffs. That goes to tell you that offense and defense was legitimate without Peyton Manning. Now that they got a quarterback,
I don't know if I would say that as opposed to saying that the AFC West was probably the worst conference in football when Tebow made it to the playoffs. Now we got to agree on that too.
I agree, but at the same time, them boys had a good defense that year. They couldn't score for nothing, but they kept everybody else from scoring too.
Yeah, and they made the playoffs.
I can't take anything away from that. I mean, that goes back to the Manning thing. I can't take anything away from Manning. But I didn't get a comment on when you said it about Seattle, though. I didn't go lose to the Niners this week, but they wouldn't be. I don't think it's that far-fetched to say they might make it to the Super Bowl. They're a team. They're only going to get better as the year goes on. you know, Percy Harvin can come back, you know, in the second half of this year maybe. They're going to get Bruce Irwin back. He's on suspension. He's going to come back. So, you know, like I said, this team is only going to get better. You know, so, you know, like I said, you don't think Harvin's going to come back this year?
No, I think he's gone for the year.
He'd be ready by week seven, week eight.
Week eight.
He ain't going to be ready
you
by
got
week
me,
seven.
You
week
got
eight.
Me on the record in week one saying that it's going to be Seattle against New England in the Super Bowl. I'm on the record.
And please make sure we keep that. September 11th. Because that ain't happening, man. That is not happening. I'm looking forward to playing this over so you can hear this at the end of the year. Anyway, I want to hear what Matt has to say. Hey, you put Matt on?
Is he on there?
I think he's in the host room.
Are you in the studio right now?
Yeah, hold up. I put him on.
Here.
Oh yeah, go ahead and put him on because I'm not in the studio right now.
I don't know what happened. I fell off there.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What you got to say?
About the 49ers or what?
The 49ers versus the.
I'm watching.
Yeah, 49ers versus the Seahawks.
This week.
Or Tony Watley's, opinion on Cam.
Matt,
you there?
Leave it up to a Gator to have a man crush on somebody. Let alone a quarterback.
They are. Gators are the home of the greatest man crush in the history of the world in Tim Tebow. So
I know, right?
Yeah.
Don't be saying people weird fan mail now. That's uncalled for. Creepy, really.
I'm Tebowing as we speak.
Probably are. And I don't want to know what kind of Tebowing you're doing either. It's going to be a family show.
the Seahawks are
depleted. Browner, he's not playing. They have like 7 players out this week. Out of their 53-man wise, they got 7. I know. Just this week, they were announced we're out. Browner's one of them, one of the biggest part of the secondary. So, yeah. Clements, he's probably not going to see him either. If he is, he's not going to be effective.
Yeah.
So, Seahawks, they get rolled this week by the 49ers. But meeting of the year, I'll give to the Seahawks because they'll probably be healthy by then, with or without Percy Harvin.
Were you guys surprised by the play of Colin Kaepernick going for 400 yards against that Green Bay?
Yeah, I was a little surprised.
No.
I didn't think he was going to come out there and throw like that.
Nope.
I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Know.
Pretty impressive.
Thought,
the 49ers, they're going to be better than they were last year.
When I seen him go off the board from Nevada, what was it, fourth round, I was like, nice. I'd like to see this kid in the NFL. Because I watched him play in Nevada, and he looked nice. And
I saw a couple of games. I didn't think he was going to translate like that, though. But, yeah, I saw a couple of guys. I didn't know it was going to be like that.
There was a flash.
And
on national stage against Boise State, when he knocked them out of what they thought was going to be contention.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Hadn't heard a since about Boise State either. You don't even hear about them no more after that. Sure don't.
Okay. Well, we got 90 seconds left. You guys want to throw anything else before we get off?
Go Gators! Go Gators!
I predict that the game Tennessee versus Oregon will be closer than a lot of people think.
I predict Oregon will
close
beat them
to
by putting at least
you to
four
sleep.
Touchdowns.
Yeah, okay. We can say that. You predict four touchdowns?
I predict one touchdown.
Tony, I want you to do a tell-all interview about all the stuff you know about University of Florida. Because I've done some research about some of those guys that were in your fraternity there in Florida, and those guys were involved with, like, everything on the University of Florida football team.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I can neither confirm nor deny.
I looked it up. Those guys were involved in everything at University of Florida football.
I don't know.
I know you know a lot of stuff, dude. I want you to spill your guts.
Look at the time. Oh my goodness.
Seriously, have you guys looked at who he was in this fraternity with at University of Florida? Literally
oh, boy,
everybody.
Look at the
did,
time.
Like,
oh my goodness.
All right. Hey, look, thank you guys for coming out listening to CMT Firestorm. We had a good show. Next week, Tony Wiley's going to do a tell-all interview with us. Let us know what didn't happen at University of Florida.
Can I say one thing real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Fantasy owners of the Saints running backs, sit them this week against the Bucs defense. That's all.
You can sit them the whole season. Joe Campbell, let me go ahead.
Yeah. If you got anybody other than Breeze, sit them.
Exactly. All right. Thank you guys for coming out to CMT Firestorm. We had a good show. Peace.
Bye-bye, everybody.